Yes, Pete Wine and Shenanigans coming at you once again. I'm Stephen Van Patten, and as always, I'm joined by Kirk Johnson and Mark Abbott. And Denise Tapscott had a something to do tonight, so she will not be joining us. We're kind of kicking it old school. It's just the three of us this time. But hey, plenty to unpack. Belated happy 420 for all of you out there that partake, so to speak. Speaking of which, oh, look what I have here.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, nice. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Hey, Patrick, Patton, pass me that light. Pass me that light, sir.
There you go.
Just pass it to the screen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
So, funny story about this. Literally in the street, and this guy like just offers me weed. All I have to do is follow his business on Instagram. Like, okay, all right. So
Nice.
here I
Mark, you want
am.
some? Hey, Mark, you want some?
Nah, I'm good. I'm abstaining.
Yeah, he's abstaining because he got a wife and kid behind him, so he can't do this.
No, sir.
A wizard is always on time.
Beef wine and shenanigans. Hope we don't get kicked off Apple for this. So
Yes.
lots to unpack, as I said earlier. And I think what I want to start with today, we just bat this around. Clarence Thomas, the biggest piece of shit the Supreme Court has ever seen. Let's
That
get into that for a hot
nigga.
second, because well, I'll put it to you
Yeah.
like this. As Mark Abbott might say, Clarence Thomas looks like he's about geared up to be on the list of fucked up and found out, or fucked around and found out.
Yeah, baby.
The sad thing is, it wasn't like there was no warning that Clarence Thomas was
A dirty nigga.
let's say of
Sorry. Yes, please.
to say of low character. I
I stand
mean,
corrected. Yes, yes.
it might actually act as an insult to niggas to include Clarence Thomas with that
I'm insulted.
particular word.
You're right.
You know what's killing me is that the stuff these cats needed to be stopped for. Like this, like to me, this pales in comparison as to what the Anita Hill case was about. That was 10 times more serious than this BS. And I remember being in college when that whole thing went down and the whole back and forth and
Oh,
everything.
excuse
And
me.
now, because you don't know how to say no, or you don't know how to conduct business properly, like I consistently, when we always have these discussions, I consistently wonder why are these laws here? Because if nobody is ever going to be, if the law of the land, these things that are on the books that say you do this, this will happen to you, why these people are never, he should be impeached. It's grounds for impeachment. There's no reason why he's still sitting there. None. But yet we're gonna play all well. We gotta have an investigation. What investigation? The newspaper pretty much did it for you. I mean, he it at most they should be like, listen, bro, you got to stay home and you can't participate in anything till this thing clears. So right. we will have an even number of judges until we figure out what to do with you.
Right.
Like when a cop doesn't do his job right, he got desk duty. What's the rules for a judge? Like, why are you still making decisions?
I will say this. This might be the first time in my lifetime that the law took its time on a black man doing wrong.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Wow. Jonathan Majors is in the fucking doghouse mad quick. but Clarence Thomas... Somebody shuffling their feet like they shackled. I'm just saying.
Well, to that point, yeah. So it's kind of that whole Jonathan Majors thing is kind of mystifying. There's a thought that the agent that dropped him so fast, like that person. You know, should probably never get another black client.
Right. He should stand behind his client. I mean, yes. I mean, I know he's not a lawyer, but I mean, for God's sake, I mean, he is your client. You're supposed to.
And there is the matter of innocent until proven guilty.
There you go.
I think that feels like a domino effect, because I don't know who went first, but when you lose your PR reps, the people who are supposed to do the cover up for you and, you know, the throw the goodwill out on the media in your behalf, when they bounce, that brings out a lot of questions. Like,
yeah, well, that's a house of cards.
You know what I mean? And I that's all I'll say. I got to stay abstain, because Jonathan Majors, as of recent, is one of my favorite actors, period. Mm-hmm. And for this to be like a thing, I'm thoroughly hurt and disappointed, as I was with finding out about Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll abstain from really adding much to this conversation, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
But no, it's all good.
I mean, I honestly, Bill Murray has run his entire career without an agent. Take a page from his book. If they're not, just run your business your way. Because at this point, you know what? If I think he's done enough, and he's got enough stuff kind of in the coffer that he might be able to kind of tiptoe on his own for a while.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the problem.
Aside from being black and.
Yeah, I know.
And not Bill Murray.
I mean,
right, and also the woman in question is a white woman.
Yeah, I know, but
those are, I mean, Bill Murray did that to a black woman and shit, and yeah, but.
But I mean, I don't know. I'm throwing out there because there are options.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're at a point now where everybody's career is completely contingent on somebody else. I mean, I get it. I understand the importance that the team brings. But if, again, if this is a case where if there's stuff that's been going on and this was like an end of the rope kind of thing for them, then that's something completely different. But if this is seriously just like, oh, he in trouble, nope, goodbye. Then, I mean,
that's pretty honestly, weak.
They never had your best interest to begin with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to consider that. You know, I mean, hopefully this won't do, I don't know. I mean, hopefully I'm hoping that he walks away from this okay. Career-wise.
Yeah.
If this is something that he has issues with as an individual, hopefully he gets some help.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if this is an internal thing where he anger issues, whatever else going on in his world, then get some help and nip that in the bud now, and don't let this thing roll out of control and then completely destroy your career altogether. You just, you know, I don't want to see that happen, but
absolutely. Yeah, no, no. I mean, he still has to fucking be, he has to be cast already in a Brooke Waters Curse, the movie. So he has to get his shit together, man. Get your shit together, dude, Jonathan, man. Come on. Brooke Waters is coming. We need your dumb ass to be up in there.
Damn. Oh, shit. Clearly, you have not seen Creed 3, because you would not be calling him no dumb ass.
My running skills have improved.
Okay, all right.
Somehow, I don't think that Brooke Waters Curse thing is going to happen now. We were okay for a few minutes until...
We have a couple of years to go. He has some years to get therapy. We can do this. We can do this. You got to think ahead. It's a long game. It's a long game.
And it's so funny, because back when I first put the book together, honestly, I was thinking Andre 3000.
Really?
Yeah.
For who? Brookwater?
Yeah, for Christian. Yeah.
Christian Brookwater.
Wow. Holy shit.
No doubt. Now to your point, Jonathan Majors would be excellent.
Man. Or Damson Idris. After playing Franklin Saint on Snowfall, which I've been seeing, he's phenomenal, actually.
Yeah, you're right. And I finally caught a couple of things that he's in and a random episode of Snowfall. So I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
I'm sorry.
So I keep, and it turns out to be clickbait every time I find an article that, you know, may or may not hint to Marvel's response.
Yeah.
Because let's all remember that he's Kang.
Yeah.
And he's basically for
Thanos.
Right, exactly. For the civilians out there, he's the new Thanos.
Yep.
And of course, Kevin Feige, you know, there's an interesting article out there that kind of like breaks down stuff that was being hinted to so early on in the beginning movies in like 2008 and so on.
Yeah.
You know, and the like little like maps that actually had Wakanda and Sokolan on them, and you just had to kind of be looking when that happened.
Yeah.
Like crazy, like just and you know, Marvel, you know, they've got this whole thing now, you know, like some of the movies are literally just connective tissue. You know, like the Eternals, a book I did not read as a kid.
Yeah.
They just happen to throw a lot of big names in it. And have Kit Carrington in there playing like, you know, all low and whatever. And meanwhile, you're like, no. There's no way you're cutting Kit Carrington a check just for him to bullshit around.
Right.
He's supposed to be a Black Knight. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So all this other stuff is in play, and I can't imagine, because, you know, the good thing, the thing that Marvel has on their side, regardless of how this all plays out, DC stays in a much bigger mess than Marvel.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's the only thing. It's like, no matter how bad Marvel fucks up, it is nothing compared to the shit show that's happening at DC right now.
Yeah.
People are doing everything outside of openly picketing James Gunn's office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are not happy at all.
But Steve, they have the Blue Beetle coming out.
And I hope it's good. Honestly, I hope it's good. But, I mean, and you know what's kind of fucked up is I saw this kind of business model in action when I was working at another music channel that was not MTV, but I was there for about 8 years. And it was interesting to watch because whenever there was a management changeover, all of the babies would get thrown out with all the bathwater.
Right. Yeah.
Whether somebody else who had been in charge prior mm-hmm. had a successful show or not. And one show in particular during one regime, and then it went away, was, and people who actually watch this sort of thing will now know which network I'm talking about. But there was a talk show hosted by Blink-182's Mark Hoppus. And it was Hoppus on Music. And the other funny thing about this was Amy Schumer's first show.
Mm. Wow.
So Amy Schumer, fresh off the street. Nobody really knows who she is yet. And Mark Hoppus hosting a show. And he got, unlike a lot of the shows from that particular network, Hoppus, because of who he was or who he is, he was able to get really good guests.
Right.
Including, just to keep it in the nerd family, Tom Hiddleston, who came on and read a whole section of, I want to say, King Henry.
Really?
The fifth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just read a whole section and had a room full of teenagers cared about Shakespeare in a way that they never cared until that moment. And I was like, on a personal note, I was like, oh shit, this is fantastic. You know,
right.
Phil Collins, Alice Cooper, all these people that you do not normally see grant interviews.
Right. Alice Cooper. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I actually, so funny story that, you know, I'll get back to my original point in a second. I was having lunch and because they didn't have at this particular place, they didn't have a cafeteria or somewhere for the crew to hang out. So a lot of times when there wasn't a guest in the green room, we would just go in the green room and eat. Mm-hmm. Alice Cooper walks in, sits right next to me. Oh, hey guys, how you doing? And I'm like,
welcome
right
to my nightmare
next to me. and everybody else is just kind of standing around. It's like, you know, and I wish somebody had just taken a fucking picture, because, you know, it's like, that's one of those things. It's like, nobody's gonna believe me when I tell them this. And he sat there, he had a sandwich, and we all just kind of chatted lightly and whatever, and, you know, I mean, we didn't bother him too much, but oh my god. But anyway, all these great guests, all these kids, all, you know, kids lined up to see the show out in the street. New management comes in, show's gone.
Wow.
And it's one of those things too, where it had developed enough of a following, because I remember I was doing a completely different show for a completely mm-hmm. different network. I'm walking off the stage and this group of six very sad teenage girls who all recognize me from Hoppus on Music, they like cornered me as I was getting off the stage and they were like, what happened to the show? And I mean, they were genuinely upset. And I was like, see, that's what you call a missed opportunity. That show could have been stratosphere thing.
Didn't they do that to 106 in Park?
Well, yes, 106 in Park.
I mean, I'm saying in the vein of management change, and then we're just sort of like,
bye.
Because we want to go in a new direction. We're not sure what direction, but right. we just know it's a direction that doesn't include you.
Yeah.
So
first of all, 106 in Park, that the funny thing about that show was that it was only shot at 106th Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And Park Avenue for its first season.
And then went to CBS. Yeah.
And then it got sold into the whole Viacom CBS thing. And, you know, of course, Robert Johnson, you know, was like swimming in money at this point.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to watch CBS tell BET, well, we don't care what you named your little black show. You're going to bring your little black show over to 57th Street, where we have all these local one stage hands, and on and on and on. Men who have since retired because of how long the 106 and Park run actually was. Yeah, this dude that you know, I occasionally work with their kids, and their old man is in Florida chilling right now.
Hey, voting for DeSantis.
Probably. But, I mean, and I guess the thing about that is, you know, it like that 106 and Park should have been the show where Pookie and Ray Ray learn how to watch, how to make a TV show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like certain communities get a stranglehold on the restaurant business, let's say, or adult entertainment, let's say. Right. And you get people who otherwise wouldn't really be able to hold down as great a position out in the real world. Mm-hmm. And you give them this bit of an edge. That's what I always thought was the most disappointing part of that, because, mm-hmm. you know, independently, there could have been internships and all kinds of great things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they didn't have interns. I didn't see any whenever I filled in, but that doesn't mean they weren't there. I mean, I'm sure they were there.
There were a few.
But I mean, just how disposable you become when you relinquish your power like that. And that's what it was. When they sold BET, it was a relinquishing of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other disappointing thing is, so that's happening, and I'm down the hall working on BET Tonight with Ed Gordon, and then mm-hmm. there was BET News that used to be hosted by Jackie Reed.
Right.
And as management changed, these shows, which, you know, and depending on who the guest was, sometimes it's a fluff piece, you know. I mean, talking about Ed Gordon's show. You know, and then other times he had real serious, meaningful conversations. Like Jesse Jackson was there one night. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm not saying it was like the greatest thing on television, but I mean, it was Black entertainers talking in depth about things outside of, oh yeah, I came up with these booty popping lyrics because of this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, so here's the funny thing about BET Tonight with Ed Gordon, ratings were up 40% and they still canceled the show. Because it was easier to show rump shaking videos and less expensive probably than to produce Ed Gordon's bit of business. So, you know, well, not to bring the room down.
I mean, I think at this point,
Stevens in retrograde.
You know,
for real. I think at this point, to be perfectly honest, I don't think there's any way for DC to survive anything else anymore. I think we're at a point, this is like the third or fourth time they keep trying to reinvent the wheel. And no matter who they bring in, nobody likes what they do. Mm. You know, I know I brought this up several times in the past. It just seems like fans are never happy. You can't make them. The biggest shock I think we got in all of the time we've had DC movies was The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Because even when they announced who was playing the Joker, everybody had already, movie's going to be terrible. Didn't even get a movie chance. Then it comes out, you know, Heath Ledger blows everybody away. And I'm like, but the same people talking about this is he should get an Oscar are the same people who literally was like, as I'm seeing it now with Lady Gaga, Everybody's like, oh, she's a horrible Harlequin. I'm like, you haven't seen the movie yet. Like, how about you let her do the role first before, you know, James Gunn's taking out, oh, he's gonna wreck the whole thing. I'm like, y'all don't even give, and I can't say, you know, Zack Snyder is a personal preference, in my opinion. You either like him or you don't, you know. Right. I don't think he's that awful of a director, but there's some people that look at me and go, like, how could you even like any of his work? I'm like, I mean, you know what? There are bad directors like Uli Boll, who literally ruined every video game movie he put his hands on, from House of the Dead to God knows, and that was bad. Yeah. You know, I can't even take Snyder and put him in that category because.
Right.
You know, it's just you just don't like what he did with the work. You don't like you want. But even when they do give people what they want, they're still not happy with it. You know, it's everybody seems to pick apart. Whatever we had, you know, nobody liked people who had problems with Wonder Woman 1984.
Right.
You know, they trashed them. Oh, it's a horrible. This is the other thing.
Justice League,
which I personally like the 4-hour cut. And part of the reason why is
with the aqua hose.
Let me tell you why. Because that Josh Whedon cut seriously undercut us.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg was reduced to some kind of Cyborg was the Ernie Hudson in Ghostbusters equivalent until we saw exactly what Cyborg could do.
Right.
That storyline was fantastic in my opinion. But
agreed.
If we went with the Josh Whedon cut, we never even got, you know. I mean,
not to mention Joe Morton was cut out of the Josh Whedon cut. Like, mm-hmm. So cuts Joe Morton out of a movie. Like,
you know, I know, you're right. Nope.
And you know, it's just.
But that Martian Manhunter shit was
yeah. Wrong. Well, I mean, we all
that shit was wrong.
We all have our.
That's kind of suspect.
Hi, Batman. Hi, Batman. I saw you were fighting the big bad, and I decided to come after you finished.
He was
as Aqua Hose was singing in the background.
He was like, what's his name from Gladiator? Is it over? Did I miss it? It's like, get out of here, you clown. I mean, it had its problems, but I'm saying even the worst Marvel movie doesn't get trashed as much as
the best DC
as some of the, you know. That's why I'm still wondering if they are going to drop that Batgirl movie, you know, just for to the point where it's just like, you know what, we got an Oscar winner in it. People are hyped up that Michael Keaton is returning as Batman, you know, which is funny because most of the generation after us are who, like, Michael who? And it's like, all right, you know, but I mean, it worked. But you know what? I'm sure somebody at DC looked at that last Spider-Man movie, was like, the fans seem to be happy that Tobey Maguire and Garfield made a comeback, you know, stuck their head back in there. And it, you know, but I don't think that I still think that DC really should relegate itself to television and animation. I think they do very well in those two mediums. And maybe what they should do is like what they did with the X-Files, where every so often in a blue moon, get the TV series characters. You want to have like a big crossover. I know they did the Flashpoint on The Flash. Maybe that should have been a movie. And have people go see it in the theaters
with a movie budget.
With a movie budget with that cast, with those casts that people like.
They're still doing the Ezra Miller Flashpoint Flash thing, right? They still, that's yeah, still coming I mean, out. It's I saw still the trailer
coming
for it,
out. It's still right? coming out. I mean, you know, we know that Ezra ain't in his right mind, but, you know, I do find it interesting that they did not shelve that, but they shelved the Batgirl. I find it very interesting with all of the controversy surrounding that particular actor that somebody was like, we can afford to get rid of Batgirl, we can't afford to get rid of the Flash. And you know, and you, and I'm pretty sure they don't plan on doing anything else with this Flash movie once it comes out.
Right. And right. just to piggyback off of that, in this, like, Ezra Miller has an actual rap sheet at this point. Like, he has actual mugshot conviction, whole nine yards.
Yep.
And nobody's management dropped him. So,
yeah.
That part. So yeah, you know, as what do you say to that outside of business as usual, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, James Gunn, they fired him from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went off and did something. I don't know what he was doing for a while. Then they brought him back.
He did
to finish out Guardians of the Galaxy.
He did Suicide Squad 2.
Suicide Squad 2, yeah.
Which killed it. And of course, somebody's like, you know, he is actually, you know, apologized for everything he tweeted back in the decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Suicide Squad 2 did reinvigorate the Suicide Squad franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good movie.
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie. It was,
but that doesn't mean, or you can direct one great movie. That does not mean hand him the keys to the entire castle.
Well, you know, he's not. He's James Gunn. He's like Middle America. He's Middle America royalty at this point. He's James Gunn to me is the cat who is the Trailer Park Quentin Tarantino of Hollywood.
Oh shit! Wow.
If you remember how, HBO's, what's that thing with John Cena?
Peacemaker.
Oh yeah,
Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Peacemaker. I love Peacemaker, hands down. I ain't gonna front. I love that shit. Was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit was so Middle America. Forgive me for saying this, please. White trash storytelling in terms of characters and who imagery and characters and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like if John Singleton, sorry to say that, Mark, John Singleton had did that shit and put that shit in Compton, and Peacemaker was a black guy from Compton, that shit would never have been made.
They did make it. They called it Steel.
Oh shit. I will say though.
Oh no, I thought it was Detroit. I thought it was a Detroit.
No, I'm being stupid.
Well, no,
I mean,
well, no. The funny thing is, who directed that and where is he now?
Didn't F. Gary Gray direct that with?
Because he would never find
that.
Wait. You talking about the Shaquille O'Neal?
With the Shaquille O'Neal movie.
With Shaquille, yeah. Because Shaq ain't do a movie after.
Look that up.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up.
I may be 100% wrong, but I want to say that was probably his early. Oh, and by the way, James Gunn is from here.
New York?
Yes. You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because I worked with him on his very first screenplay film for Troma. Yeah.
Upstate New York? Or New York, New York? What part of New York?
He
Brooklyn?
When I was a fledgling PA, I ended up working for Troma. And they were doing this horror film, this horror schlock called Tromeo and Juliet. And James Gunn was the guy who wrote it. And here's the funny part. He was in the office with us. And everybody was like, oh, you should talk to James since you're a screenwriter and this, that, the other thing. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I might not be here talking to you right now. I might be in Hollywood. But
doing shit like this. I never touched that woman. That was a lie.
I say that to you, Kurt, because it's Troma. And if you know, if you're familiar with the schlock and the stuff that Trauma used to put out, it kind of makes sense to what you said. So
man, I'm looking up now. Looking at his move, Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I could be. Yeah, I'm definitely probably wrong on everything.
No,
not
the director. The director was Kenneth Johnson.
Kenneth Johnson.
Oh shit! No shit, Kenneth Johnson. I saw him working at the Waffle House like maybe a year ago. I saw him on TikTok when she threw the chair and that chick caught the chair and he was in the back making.
I thought you were gonna say he was one shooting the video while chick caught the chair.
I know. No, they wouldn't let him give him a camera anymore because of Steel. So he making waffles now.
That's messed up.
No, what is he doing now?
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? I gotta find out what is Kenneth Johnson doing?
Yeah, forget the fact that you're gonna Google Kenneth Johnson and get the phone book.
Kenneth, I'm still. It's Kenneth Johnson, right? You said. I'm looking up now. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh Kenneth. My God, this dude did. Okay, we're gonna have to eat some words here. He did.
Well, Kirk's Incredible Hulk. Words,
the original miniseries, The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
No. After he did Steel, everything after Steel.
After Steel, he's been writing books. It looks like.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? After Steel, he wrote books. He has a legacy. So from the 90s, Alien Nation, the series, Dark Horizon, Body and Soul, Alien Nation. So he did a lot of the Alien Nation just from Jump right there.
Right.
Which is right there, which is a sci-fi.
He's from.
Wrote and directed Baker Street, Sherlock Holmes Returns. Right? Alien Nation. He directed Short Circuit 2 in 1988.
Mm-hmm. He's got a television. He's got a right to have a bad one in his pocket.
Right. And he has a right to and he has a right to come back from that. And he has a right to literally come back from that.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's not like he's Joel Schumacher.
Here we go. 1999, Zeon, Girl of the 21st Century, he directed. Zeon, Girl from the 21st Century. Oh, wow. In 1999, Don't Look Under the Bed for Disney Channel original movie.
Okay.
That's what he's done after Shaq, after Steel.
All right.
So far, yeah. So,
well, I mean, you know, everybody's
in. Wait, Mercury in retrograde. We just like, that's sad. We are like, that's really sad.
Well,
I feel for brother.
Moving along. Can I segue? Before we run out of time, I want to talk about The Mandalorian.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, please.
Because
that is what some people are expecting.
Because I have to say this. Giancarlo Esposito now holds in my heart. This man has had some of the most creative deaths.
How about that?
Big brother almighty coming to looking like a Beskar Darth Vader.
yeah
the cape and everything. He was mad. He's like, I was gonna be perfect. I was gonna have clones with the Force and you ruined it. He chewed that line up.
It kind of like that the helmet up. It's just funny because it was kind of like Darth Vader, if Darth Vader were a cat person.
Right. Yeah. What Darth Maul species? I thought it was like with the Darth Maul species thing, like the horns and shit. Yeah. That was crazy. He broke the Darksaber. Spoilers. Sorry if anybody didn't see it yet.
Dude. Oh, it's like, you know what? I can't with y'all now. It's No, because I love Giancarlo, and he excels in everything he touches. But as the villain, every time I just Soon as that mess happened to him, the first thing I thought about was what happened to him and on Breaking Bad. When he
right.
he walked out with half a face. I'm like, damn.
Fixing his tie. He fixed his tie. I gotta look good for wild. The coroner. Yeah.
That was wild.
I was like, man. Why do they keep doing you dirty like this? Man. Is that like a clause in your contract? Like, look, y'all gonna kill me.
I ain't gonna
have to make this memorable.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what you get for fucking playing pilgrims and shit on Mandalorian, the planet. Coming in there, taking over shit in this building, and building your own fortress on somebody else's planet.
How about that?
Yo, that's some audacious motherfucker. Like,
yo, you had me living in the desert this whole time. Meanwhile, you was on my home world.
Right.
Using my stuff.
Hunting my people down and shit. Motherfuckers had to make a fucking sailboat just to fucking move around. Ooh. Eating plants off the ground. Can't even have like a proper garden.
Right.
I gotta have like a cave garden. You motherfuckers. You dirty motherfuckers.
Oh my God. That and then my boy Grogu. With the suit.
Yes.
No.
IG-11.
No.
I did like him in that. I did like him doing that. I did like him. He got cute again to me. He became cute again to me when he started doing shit like that. Yes. Yes. No. Yes.
No.
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 No. That poor boy. He gonna have a speech impediment when he gets older. That poor boy. Oh man!
Speech impediment, please. He's got the Force. He'd be fine.
Oh my man. God!
Nah. And the Mandalorians. I said it earlier, man. The Mandalorians flying down and shit. We got reinforcements. He's like, the niggas is flying with capes. They holy shit! They Mandalorian superheroes. It's like, what the fuck?
Yo, those cats.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the United States Army to start taxing us heavier. Like, we're going to get, like, taxed more because they had the idea that, you know, maybe our Navy SEALs should have jetpacks. Right? The Mandalorians are the Navy SEALs of Star Wars. And to give the motherfuckers jetpacks flying in and out of atmosphere. Like, oh, we're going to...
Like, what's that noise? I don't know. Oh shit!
Yeah,
my man was like, yo,
them niggas can fly now. They can fly now.
Get to the drop ships. I'm a pilot this one straight through a hole in the ground. I'm like, and then jumped out at the last second. I was like, oh, at least this wasn't one of those sacrifice runs.
Right now, Paz Vizsla. Paz, yo, I shit you not, I feel if Wu-Tang Clan was still together, they would introduce a rapper called Paz V. That dude went out like, dude, that dude went out like, he went, his gun overheated and he was like, oh, fuck it. He started beating him with it.
The gun melted. I was like,
that was hot.
The day after, because I was away, so when I got back, one of my coworkers was like, did you watch the episode? I was like, yeah, that was not the way. I was like, we don't take him out. Like, he's straight. I'm just like, I have no words for that. Like, you don't, you know who he reminded me of in a way? Not even though he wasn't skittish, but he made me think of Hudson. From Aliens.
Oh.
When Hudson finally was like, he had had enough of the aliens and stood his ground.
Oh, you want some of this?
And you want some of this too? And I was like, he's not going to survive this. But
he did. Man. Man.
Dude was like, I'm trying to make that an choice. Army using your armor. Like, literally, like, I'm taking your armor, your Jedi skills, your strength.
And of course, and I like that. I loved that they kept Din Djarin as the G. When he said, "Hey, open the shields one at a time. Open them when I tell you." one at a time. He was like, bat, bat, bat. Next, bat. And he just kept going.
Yeah.
He shot him. He beat him there with their own mace, block and shield and crunch. Man, that was so. You know, I you know, to this day, I'm sorry for every Star Wars series that's come out from Disney Plus. Mandalorian is still top number one.
Mm-hmm. I like the way it ended. Amen. Because
sort of like, mm-hmm.
they literally can do a clean reboot.
Yes.
And the two of them can now do adventures that are not tied to any one storyline anymore.
Nope.
You know, and I think that's a wonderful thing to be able to do, because with Ahsoka coming out, and it's already been established that they have had a rapport with each other.
Yes.
That's going to be interesting if she has to call on him. Mm-hmm. And and now you got like a Mandalorian sitting out in the outskirts of town. You know,
it would have been nice if we saw, like, in the last Star Wars, the very last one they had out.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice if they saw like a fleet of Mandalorian ships coming out. Because, you know, they had to grab, so you had to grab motherfuckers, because they, you know, the Republic doesn't have like a real fleet,
mm-hmm.
but you see like a whole, like a fleet of fucking, well, we got some ships coming out of hyperspace. It's like, well, who are they? Oh my God. They, you know, the Imperials have reinforcements. No, it's Mandalorians. Oh. And then you have like that fucking music playing in the background. Niggas still flying in capes and shit.
Well, you know what? We didn't have
Bo-Katano coming down and like, you know, just...
We didn't have
nice.
We didn't have this out when the last Star Wars movie came out. Yeah. But there is talk that they're doing a new film with Rey.
Okay.
There's like murmurs that they want to resurrect a new Star Wars series with the character for Rey. So who knows?
But Rey.
I mean, it would be interesting if she does have some dealings with the Mandalorians, or
that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I still say we need a Wookiee series.
Man, if there was a Wookiee series, everything in subtitles, man.
Exactly. I wouldn't even care.
I would not care. I'm a Generation Xer, man. I've seen foreign movies. I'm used to that shit.
It would have to center around your boy from the Book of Boba Fett.
Black Cassant, yes. Black Cassant. Yeah. Man, let me tell you something. What, man? I'd have like a black Wookiee t-shirt going to work every fucking day. They'd be like, Kirk, who's that? Man, that's Black Cassant. Well, why you keep wearing it? Because he's black. Juneteenth, Black Cassant. Every day.
There should be a special Juneteenth Black Cassant.
Yeah, right.
Commemorating Juneteenth.
Commemorating Juneteenth. With that same scowl. They'd be like, you'd be looking like Frederick Douglass, never smiling in a photo.
Well, shit, Frederick Douglass ain't shit to smile about. So,
shit, niggas Black Cassant.
Boy.
Well, yes, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I would enjoy that. That would be,
Man, lose on my damn mind, man. I'd finally buy a subscription to Disney 12.
And I'll admit that both this last Mandalorian episode finale and Picard, had me in my feelings. Picard, they actually had the nerve to do the whole. Kind of like faking that the episode's over and then coming back and then having faking that it's, you're like, okay, this is fucking Lord of the Rings again.
Right.
With the fake out.
They did Return of the Jedi with the Enterprise going inside the Borg ship and doing the whole thing.
Oh, first of all, let's talk about how that was what's her name flying that? Mm-hmm.
Sydney.
The Doctor.
Right. Oh, right.
That was Crusher. And they were all looking at her like, wait, what? And she was like, I learned some things. I was,
Right.
Oh no, wait, she was doing the firing, and Data was the one who lost his mind, who got in his feelings and started.
Trust me.
That's like my man.
There was, I still to this moment want to know what 7 of 9's call signature is. Because when it was like, there was we already had Make It So, and this, that, there was like, so what's yours going to be? And she was like, and then they cut. I'm like,
and then they cut it, right?
I'm like, great. Yeah.
It's like, y'all suck.
I'd laugh if that shit is assimilate.
Oh, shit.
Assimilate.
Yo. That would be. No, I'm trying to think what she what could would be. What would it really say? Be?
Yeah. Not engaged. Not what's the other one?
Oh,
let's go.
She might have used her old captain's
Janeway. What was Janeway's? Oh, Sheldon. The guy who died, Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
Captain. What was his then?
I forget. I don't even think we got a chance to learn it because I will say this because I saw somebody I know posted something about. They said that the fact that they had the entire Enterprise crew on this season of Picard is what should have happened from the beginning, which I completely disagree because I would have felt like all you're doing is rebooting Star Trek.
Right.
And I think that, but what I will say, whether the writers wanted to do it and couldn't, or he didn't want to be a part of it, I still think it should have ended with Avery Brooks showing up out of the wormhole to come after the change. Yeah, the Defiant is still sitting in dry dock. No, him coming after the changelings. Like, to me, would have really made that if the last shot of the show was Starfleet meeting and he came down in the middle of the room. And they're all like, Sisko? And he's just like...
And two-gunning it?
You know, and with basically a man called Hawk. A man called Sisko.
Exactly. Whatever that is. And you know, just to fuck with people, give him his Ray-Bans back.
Oh, that would have been awesome too.
Could you imagine?
That would have been awesome with the Ray-Bans and a chef's and a chef's apron because and he just
father,
came out
and his father's right. His father's chef apron.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, with the name on it, Sisko's.
Sisko.
Hey, man.
The last episode of Picard, the season before, Wesley came back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have Wesley show up with Jake, and then Jake coming in with his father,
Sisko.
And then having Sisko walk in behind them.
That would have been interesting.
And then like
that would have been wild.
Yeah, that would have been
at least another 15 minutes in that one episode, though. And everybody would have been complaining, oh, the fuck.
Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, and then that's, you know, and that was the only thing. I was like, I appreciated every second of it, but I was also kind of like, you know, because you think the show, you think this is the end of the episode, your bladder starts getting triggered, like, oh, yeah, dude, now I can go to the there's more, you know? Because that's what happened with me and Lord of the Rings. It's like, the movie's finally
they did that in AI too.
Yes.
You're like, okay. We got now in the Marvel movie, you gotta stay to the end. Because
and then that's the other thing.
Well, you did see the very end with Q.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I didn't bring quite that I don't know. I don't understand.
Kind of tied to Q. But you know, people like him.
People like him. He probably needs a check. You know, probably got a divorce or two to pay for. You know,
at this point, it's like, it ain't for me. This ain't for me no more.
I think. Well, you know what I think's gonna happen. They're probably gonna do this whole thing with the Titan now. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's now the Enterprise. Enterprise G?
Right.
Enterprise G, yeah.
That's right. They switch it over.
The G, baby.
Seven of Nine.
It's a nice gangster, Captain baby.
Captain's Chair.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Baby Picard, and he's being harassed. But I, you know what? The thing about that is, I hope that while I'm okay with it, I just hope it isn't the whole next season. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something right. cute that happens every other episode or whatever. But
right.
it let them have their other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I'm good if this was the end. I would actually be fine with it. I'd be like, oh, okay, thanks, guys.
Because it is. It is.
Yeah, talk about, I think this is it.
Talk about neatly tied up.
Those guys, yeah. I think their journeys are over.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. they're going to start to roll into, I don't know. It might be, I would like to see an entire season about the LaForges.
The LaForges, mm-hmm. yeah. I would too, but yeah, I don't know about this.
I mean, you gotta kind of, you know.
Well, you can tie all of that into the new show.
If they definitely
pursue LaForges. Something with, you know, Seven of Nine.
And Sydney and yes. Young. He's an ensign and he's sitting in the right next to the captain's.
But he's special counselor.
He's a special counselor. He's almost
nepotism.
Like.
You know, so, let's call
nepotism. Sort of like the Deanna yeah. Troi without the powers.
Right. He's not a bit. That's a big, huh?
He's right. Like Deanna Troi. Can't read minds without the.
He has Borg. He has Borg sense, I guess. I don't know.
Well, so does she.
Yeah. So it's right. That's I don't know. I don't know, dude.
And they just finished stomping, and more importantly, they just finished stomping a mud hole in the Borg's collective face. So I don't think the Borg is going to be a big problem anymore.
It's a big galaxy. You don't know. It's a big galaxy.
I mean, true.
They still Delta Quadrant.
Rubik's Cube out there.
Right.
Wait,
right,
you're right. Right. You're right.
Well, you never know. The Dominion can always show up again.
Oh, and then there's that.
Mm-hmm.
With the changelings running around now, it's like, how about they caught my man on the transporter pad trying to sneak in?
Yeah.
The changeling and this confused look on his face. Right. Like, the hell did you know it was me? Yeah, we. I'm
trying to think. Anything else? Man, is that all the sci-fi shit that's out now, right?
But now,
what's coming up next, man?
I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of movies and stuff.
Did y'all see the trailer for the Marvels?
No. Yes,
they have Miss
Marvel,
Miss Marvel,
Captain Marvel, and Rambeau. Spectrum, I guess, and
right.
And Monica Rambeau as like, Marvel.
I was like, that was one of those somebody like, here you go. Here's something you didn't know you needed, but you do need.
And you do need it, right.
Well, they have a couple of
and I like it.
Things now. Yeah. They've also got Agatha.
Mm-hmm.
Agatha Harkness, right. Yeah. But this is a movie. I'm like looking at the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I was movie, like, so. I'm confused.
Yeah. But so you I want to see this. I'm sure, yeah.
It helps. It's going to help with my Comic-Con. As I told Steven the other night, now I don't have to get Just for Men anymore. Now then,
right. you can dress up Cosette as Captain Marvel, as Monica Rambeau.
Yes, I could.
I'm saying, right. Just saying.
That's right. That's we're almost halfway to Halloween, so you have a couple of months to massage that.
right.
Oh,
Dad, yeah, I want to watch blah blah blah. No, you don't. You want to watch
this. You want to watch this.
Oh, as my daughter would say, you always want to dress up as the pirate. He's not a pirate.
Man, I'm looking for...
Where's the rum, Savvy?
Right. Real quick, really looking forward to The Voyage of the Demeter.
Yes.
Dracula.
I would say that horror. all of us are definitely looking forward to that. I've already seen Renfield. I don't know where everybody else is on that.
I saw half of it, and I got to go back and finish it.
Copy that. Other thing I think we ought to tease, we got some guests lined up Rob Atone has mentioned wanting to be on the show, so I'm going to bring him in at some point. Denise will be back, of course. And another thing I think I want to put on our docket possibly is the Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, with Rutger Hauer? No.
Rutger Hauer. Rutger Hauer.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Anyway.
Russell Crowe.
That's enough food for thought, I think, for one night. Thank you all for listening and watching and partaking in our little bit of smoke session at the beginning there. That was fun. Anyway, we're Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. We're out of here. We love you. We mean it. Talk soon.
Yeah. Come back, Denise.